of my Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Kamal. Good morning, everyone. All right, I'm blessed and grateful to have this opportunity to share with you from God's word, hopefully some things that might encourage or strengthen your faith. Appreciate Domingo asking me, and when he asked me, I'm going to make myself available. And I guess he just wanted to let me know, too. He's going to have his eye on me. He said he'll be watching us this morning online, all right? So keep everything above board, come on. All right? Listen, you know, I got the scriptures together, and I say, okay, this is what I want to say, and I want to say it this way, and this and that. But then I get up here, and the Lord just say, just speak from the heart. You know, because what comes from the heart, I believe, reaches the heart. And I believe that God's word comes from God's heart and goes straight to the heart of man. I believe that's why the word is supposed to prick our hearts. You know, I think that's why the Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in you. So I always try to share from that perspective that it's coming from someplace real. So when I'm sharing it, you say, yeah, I feel it. You know, it's not some ingredients that I'm reading off a box or something, you know, put two, you know, spoonfuls of this and that. I'm trying to give it to you in a way that you can say, I relate to that, because these are our daily experiences as believers trying to live and walk upright in this world. Amen. So I want us to read a few scriptures this morning in the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. But before we get to what he's saying here in the 5th chapter, I got to back up just a little bit into the 4th chapter. Amen. Tell me in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 13 and then go into some verses in the 5th chapter and then try to share my points that I want to share with us this morning. In the 4th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 13, and it reads this way. I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise up you also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish. I think some of us could relate to that, right? This old man is going fast. Boy, I was telling somebody yesterday, I'm like, back in the day, you would recuperate much faster, wouldn't you? The younger you were. You know what I mean? You'd get some bruises or bumps, and the next day, you out, and you're doing your thing. Now, that thing still be hurting from last week. You know what I mean? I remember, I don't want to bring it up because I don't want Jamel to feel the type of way, you know. But I remember one time when we were at First State and Janelle had got a concussion. And, you know, I look sometimes and she's sitting out in the hallway. And I'm like, why are you sitting out here, Janelle? And she said, because the singing hurts my head and the lights and stuff bothered me. And I'm like, I was unaware of that until she shared that with me. I'm like, because I said, I see a football player get knocked unconscious in a game, and then next week he's playing. So how can he be in front of 60,000 screaming fans and lights and play, but you with a concussion can't sit in a room where saints are singing? I didn't understand the effect that it had on you. And it has a lasting effect, amen? You know, so just understanding that and how things affect us in ways like that. You know, so when we're talking about faith, right, we're talking about trusting and depending and relying on God in ways that might not be typical, I'll put it that way, for us and for our way of thinking, right? So let me read some more. I'm going to finish here. It says, so we faint not, and the old man, the Bible says, the inward man is renewed daily, but this old man, he's perishing constantly, right? That's going to be important to understanding the point that we're going to get to. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's also important also. It's just for a time being, right? It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which while we look not at the things that are seen, right? It says, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that which are seen are temporal, they're temporary. But the things that are eternal, those things we don't see. But those are the things that we actually trust in. What we don't see, not what we do see. Because everything we see is perishing, and we're evident of it, right? So then when we go down here into now, we're moving into the fifth chapter. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were destroyed or dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, right? If so, let me go back here. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That eternal body, this body that ain't going to feel no pain. There's no pain, no crying, no sickness, no dying. Got a little bit of poetry in me, right? So it ain't going to be none of that in this new body. And we should be groaning and looking forward to that. Well, I won't be feeling these pain in my knee. Patty asked me this morning, how's your hip? I'm like, it's my hip. It's being that, what it does, you know? And one of the things I was saying to her, too, while we was riding, we were talking about George. And I said, one of the things that I love about George is that no matter what George is going through, George just be like, oh, you know, I'm just in stride. I'm like, that is just so encouraged into me. Because every little thing that happened to me, I want to cry about it. Lord, why me? You know, how come this is happening to me? But I love brothers, not to see them going through things, but I love to see the attitude that they have when they're going through things. Because that encourages me. Because it just lets me know that, you know what? We looking for something greater than what we is here. I would hope that that's what we're looking for, right? So he says that, back here he says, for we groan, right? And we know that we have this in heaven. He says, for in verse 3, for so he that being clothed, let me read this again. If it be so, that we be clothed, we shall not be found naked. He says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same self thing in is God, right? And it says, who also have given unto us the earnest of his spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And this is the point right here. We who are believers, we who are in Christ, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen? So you notice how Paul gives a contrast between being in this physical body and being here on earth in a temporary status. He compares that to being out of this physical body and being with the Lord eternally. And so while we walk here in this physical world, he's saying that we don't walk by what we see, we walk by faith. And that word faith is translated from a Greek word, pistis, which means it's talking about an assurance, a confident conviction, a deep belief. You know what I mean? Not what, because I didn't walk in here this morning like, man, I wonder if God's going to save me. I wonder when it's all done, am I going to be one of his? I don't have that. I don't have that doubt, and neither should us. We should not have this doubt whether or not we're saved. We shouldn't have. The Bible tells us that these things were written so that we might know that we have eternal life. But what happens is that this faith, which we're talking about, is trusting, depending, and relying on God, sometimes get distorted, sometimes gets distorted or gets misled, and starts to cause all kinds of different conflicts and problems with what we're trusting in. Because see, this is exactly what the adversary is trying to do. The adversary is trying to destroy or shipwreck your faith. He's trying to either get you to believe there is no God, right? And he affects, and he does that and tries to affect that. How? By the things that you say. By the things that are before you. He tries to affect the circumstances, such as with Job, affect the circumstances in their life, and let's see if they still trust in you, Lord. They'll turn around and cuss you to your face, saying, no God, or have you so depressed and beat down from your own efforts that fall short, have you believing, God then gave up on me. There's a God, but he's not with me. This is what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to shipwreck your faith. Or also is another aspect of it, right? He have you not trusting in him, but trusting in yourself. No, and that's a problem. See, this is why I can walk in here this morning and have this confidence, because I'm not trusting in me. Because if I'm trusting in me, I might not even show up. I might be ashamed to come here. Because none of us are worthy or could ever earn God's grace. And it's hard for some of us to get our minds around it, that something has been given to us, something so precious. It reminds me of the movie. I was sitting there thinking of the movie. I don't know how many. Has any of y'all seen the movie Trading Places? If you saw Trading Places, raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah, Eddie Murphy. You know one of the scenes of that movie that was so funny to me? They took him from a bum on the street trying to con people out of money, right? And they put him in a mansion and gave him a butler and all these things, right? And he's like, this is yours, right? And he's living it, and he's walking around the house looking at things, talking about, oh, this is mine, huh? Yeah, oh, yeah, right. Like, this kind of stuff just happens to me every day, right? And he's, like, stealing the stuff. And the guy's like, yo, it's yours. It's yours. You ain't got to steal it. He's like, yeah, right, you know? And I think that's hard for some of us to get our minds around, that God has given us this. And it's like, we really can't believe it. God couldn't just give me this. I got to do something to earn it. Well, just like I said, faith, it's talking about an action, a belief. So if I believe something, you know what it's going to do? It's going to be evident in the way that I move. And I like that word move. You know what I mean? Because like Jesus said, he said, you know, their mouth be going one way, but their behind be going the other way. You know what I mean? The Bible says, free your mind and your behind will follow. So whichever way your mind is going, that's where you at. You know, the Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So he said, Jesus, like, oh, yeah, they love me. And then their actual faith or what they trusted in evidence is something that's completely different, does it? Amen. So we are those who trust in God. It's like we were talking about this morning in Bible study. He's like, why are you like you're of this world being judged by things of this world? If you're risen with Christ, why are you subject to things that have nothing to do with your eternal life? Everything that we do, I'm talking about what I do and how I do it, should be evidence of what I believe. What I say and how I say it should be evidence of my faith in God. So you should see the way I move. That's why I don't like snakes, because they move funny. You know, when you're looking at that snake, he's moving sideways. And I'm like, is he coming at me or not? You know, I don't know which way he's moving. He's moving funny. And people move like that too. You know, some people move like that. Like, wait a minute, you moving kind of funny, you know. So we're talking about trusting and depending on God. Do we really trust in God? Even in the class we was talking about this morning, it's like he's talking about trust, following God and not the rudiments and traditions and things of men. And it's a lot of these things that there's nothing wrong with them. It's just like I said a minute ago, it's not always what I do, but it's why I do it. Because two people can do the exact same thing. And God said, I don't know you. And then tell you, come on in. It's because why are you doing it? You know what I mean? Are you doing it because you think this is justifying you with God? You think that you're doing something that's making yourself right with God? Let me dispel that real quick, right? Let's just say, sometimes I think we think if we do enough good works, you know, it'll balance out. You know, my good works will outweigh my bad works. Well, if you got a scale here and you putting 1,000,000 feathers in your cap on this scale. Look, I got a million feathers in my cap on this scale. That's great. The bad news is it only takes one on this side to come crashing down on that scale like a boulder. The Bible says if God marked or actually noted or held accountable for sin, who would stand? Because it would only take one. It don't have to take you did this thing 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Once you sinned, you fought, you're out of grace. You're condemned. So we're not under law. We don't walk by law. We walk by faith. We've been given grace and mercy. And the Bible tells us that we were over here separated, alienated from God, unbelievers, right? And then the Bible says over here is God's saving grace. Now, he tells us that the thing that moved us from here to there was faith. He says, you're saved by grace through faith. Does the scripture not say that? So the same thing that brought me here, right, is the same thing that'll keep me here. So how did I get over here and then start trusting in other things? See, because this is what the adversary does. He is slick, I'm trying to tell you. The Bible says that even his ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. So he'll have you thinking that your righteousness is in yourself. You know what I mean? Look, God, look what I've done. That's just what the devil wants you to do. That's just what he wants you to do. So, I mean, because most of us, I think we know what's evil. You know, what's just blatantly evil. We know lying is wrong. We know fornication is wrong. We know these things is wrong. The way he'll get most of us is having us thinking that we're doing things right and be trusted in what you think you don't. You know what I mean? That's the problem for most of us. So that's the message that we need to continue to focus on amongst ourselves and not be, and we talked this morning, I was like, it's all kind of boundaries that have been established by men. And we hold one another accountable to these boundaries. And the boundaries that we should be holding one another accountable to is the word of God. Amen. It's having faith in God. What you're doing is actually demonstrating your faith in God. It's funny, you know, we were some members was going to get baptized, and we came in here to baptize them. And one of the family members, the first thing he said when he looked at the door, right, when he came to the door, right, Derek, he said, oh, so y'all believe in crosses. And I looked at him, I said, believing? What do you mean believing? See, this is what I'm talking about. What are you calling faith? What are you trusting in? He says, what did he say, Derek? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, because we don't believe in crosses. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in what God did for us through his son. That's just a piece of wood on the wall. I said, we don't bow down and worship a cross. These cups that you see on the table, so many people that have issues with how you got to do it this way or do it. I don't trust in cups. None of these things have anything to do with my faith in God. And so when we start judging each other, well, y'all got to sing this way. Y'all got to drink the cup this way. Y'all got to do that way. And most of the things that divide us, not just in the religious world, but just in the body of Christ. Those of us who call ourselves Church of Christ are divided by so many things that really have nothing to do with what our faith should be in. Amen? So we're talking about trusting in God. Trusting the faith. Somebody was talking, we was talking the other day, and they was talking about, oh, we got to keep his commandments. And, you know, was the apostles, when we say the apostles' doctrine. Well, what was the apostles teaching? So one of the things we was establishing in that conversation is that they didn't even have this Bible. So they sure wasn't teaching this. So what was they teaching? And I said, well, listen, the Bible tells us that when he told his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. I said, well, let's keep it simple. What did he command them? He commanded them to love God and love your fellow man. That's it. That's it. Everything that just like we just read is for your sakes, not for God's sake. You can't listen. We're talking about a self-sufficient God who has always existed and always will exist and had no beginning and no end. It's nothing you and I can give God or do for God, because God needs nothing. So everything that God asks us to do is for us. For us, I love the way Paul puts it in Titus. When he's talking to Titus, he talks about us having received God's grace and his mercy. He said, now we who have believed and have received these things want to always, constantly affirm good works. Not so that we can be justified, but so that, because these works are profitable unto men. It's profitable to us when we don't kill each other. It's profitable to us when we're honest with one another. It's profitable among us when we practice humility and put down our pride and our egos. That's profitable for us. And then when we practice these things that show faith in God, guess what he does? He says, you can live peaceably with all men. You don't have to believe. We don't have to agree on everything all the time. That's another point. Let me say, we were at a function. I know Domingo, I know you watching. He said, keep my brother on point, because he, you know, you just always start having thoughts. And Derek, like Derek said, you always got, here's another thing and another thing. Well, this is another thing, but it's on point, right? So we was over at a thing over in Jersey. These brothers had invited us to come over there, you know, a bunch of brothers from different congregations, and they was having these three speakers come up from different areas, brothers that they esteemed highly. They esteemed and respected these brothers, and they came up and they gave presentations. And I guess they figured they invited us because they figured these brothers are going to get y'all straightened out, right? So we listened to what they had to say, and I noticed that all of them referred to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 10, where Paul says, that I beseech you, brothers, that we all speak the same thing and be of the same mind and the same judgment. And they was riding with that verse, all of them. So afterwards, we sat down to eat. And as we're sitting there eating, I looked at the brother. I said, hey, you know, I noticed y'all referred to that verse quite a bit. I said, can you tell me when you're referring that to that? I said, is Paul talking about something specific that we all need to be speaking the same thing about? Or are you saying in general? I said, because the way I hear y'all using it is a general statement. Like, we all supposed to speak the same thing and have the same mind and the same judgment about everything. And so they wasn't sure how to answer the question. They was, and another brother was sitting there saying, wait a minute, yeah, I want to hear this answer. And they couldn't really answer. And then finally Red said, Mark, just go ahead and answer it for him. So I said, well, in those verses, Paul is speaking about something specific. Paul is saying that y'all talking about Kamal baptized you, I'm of Kamal. You know, or Cedric baptized you, I'm of Cedric. He said, I'm glad I ain't baptized none of y'all. He said, because your allegiance is not to the one who baptized you. Your allegiance is to Christ. Mark didn't die for you. Paul didn't die for you. He said, that's something we all should be speaking the same thing about. That's something that we should all have the same judgment about. See, and this is what we're talking about, you know, because then that just brings me to my next point, which is that where does your faith come from? Why are you believing what you believe? The Bible tells us that faith comes by what? And hearing by what? The word of God. Now, the problem is this, that we all pick this Bible up and read it and walk away with 10 different understandings. You know what I mean? And so I asked myself, and you heard me say before, I believe the most important question in the Bible to me is when Philip asked the eunuch, and the eunuch is sitting there reading the Bible. He's reading in the book of Isaiah. And he asked him, he says, do you understand what you are reading? That's the important question, because we can all read, but do you understand what you read? And see, because understanding what you read, that should be leading us all in a different place, toward the same place, I mean. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be none of us who are believers and have faith in Christ walking in here wondering about, man, I sure hope God can save me, man. You know, I hope I'm doing enough that I can earn this thing, man. I'm really trying, Lord. What? If I was doing that, I think I would have given up a long time ago. I really do, because I done fell short so much that I thought it was no more hope for me. God had to come tell me. And now, don't get me wrong, I don't mean God came down and me and him had this conversation, but he spoke to me through his word. And while I was down at one of my lowest points, God said, Mark, I know who you are. I saw your end before I saw the beginning. It's playing out in real time for you, but I already saw the end of this. He said, I called you anyway, knowing who you were. In spite of your, despite your shortcomings, I called you, I'm going to use you, and I got a purpose for you. And I got up, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And I was running, boy. I got up, and I was running. I was, at that point, I didn't care if I lived or died. I mean, I was just like, Lord, just take me. You know, I'm done. You done gave up on me. There's no sense for me living here the rest of this life. You might as well just take me now. He was like, if you don't get up off that floor and get to moving. And he put a message in me that was encouraging to other people. And other people was like, wow, I needed to hear that, Mark. And I'm like, see, that's why I guess I was going through these things. So that when God brought me through them, I could be a strength, a sense, a source of strength and encouragement to them. Because I done been through some things. I'm trying to tell you, let me just tell y'all this one story. One story of faith, right? Just my faith. When I was coming up in the streets in Philly, West Philly, I sold drugs. Don't y'all say, oh my God, Brother Mark sold drugs. We didn't know that about him. Right? I did. That's the life I came up in out there. And you, I mean, you know, it's funny though, because a lot of the things that I learned in the streets, God turned them things into positives in the church. You know what I mean? He gave me the ability to discern. I'm not naive. I'm not easily fooled. I know, like I said, I know how people move. Your mouth say one thing, but I'm watching how you move, right? And that's what God is doing. He said, I hear y'all praising me with your lips. Your mouth is this and that, but Christ sees the way you move, right? So I'm moving the right way now. I gave up all that. You know what I mean? And now I'm working a 9-to-5. And it seemed like when I was working a 9-to-5, it seemed like I had more money in my pocket. Because when I was out there, the money came fast and it went fast. But like now I'm working, I got money in my pocket, 9-to-5. So the guy hired me and a couple other guys at one salary. He said, I'm going to hire y'all this much. I think back then it was like $12 an hour. He told us, which was good money back then, right? And so we said, yeah, sure. So then the day we get ready to start, he says, you know, it's been a change in the contract. I'm only going to pay y'all $9 an hour. So the guys that was there with me, they was like, oh, no, that's unacceptable. We're out. Come on, Mark. Right? He said, come on, Mark. And I'm like, no, I'm not going with y'all. They like, you're not going. Why are you not going? I'm looking at them like, you know the look right there, the meme. I'm looking at them like giving them that look, Maria. And I'm like, I'm not going because $9 an hour is more than $0 an hour. You want me to leave $9 an hour and take nothing an hour? I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work this 9 hours until I find something to pay me more an hour. So then he cut my days, Cedric. Now I'm down to 3 days a week with $9 an hour. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm starting to panic at this point. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? And I'm coming home, and I keep this in mind, too. The church I was added to was right up the block from my house. So my transformation was taking place in the same neighborhood that I grew up in. So all the people that had seen me from a child grow up into this terrorist and then seen the transformation, they were like, wow. So I'm coming home now from this job. This is still early in my faith, right? I'm still a babe in Christ. And so the guys on the corner out there, they still selling, right? They out there with the wads and money and the gold chains and everything. And they like, Mark, man, you better come on back and get some of this money. And at that point, my mom was saying, maybe. But I said, but that's what I thought. But I said, I'm good. No, I'm not going back that path, right? It's nothing but darkness back there. You know, the Bible says, if your eye be dark, how dark is the darkness? Well, I came from the darkness into his marvelous light. I'm not trying to go back into the darkness, right? So you know what? I see, because we all want to be tested at some point in our faith. Not just once, you're going to be tested again and again. And the stronger that you get in your faith, the harder the test is going to be, right? So I said, I'm good. And then I remembered, I said, you know what? I did an internship for this program, for this organization a couple months ago. They wasn't hiring at the time. I said, maybe they're hiring now. And I called him. I said, hey, this is Mark Ray. I said, you remember I did an internship for y'all? Y'all wasn't hiring at the time. I just called to see if maybe y'all hiring now. And they said, Mark Ray, wait, would Jessica Ray call you? I'm swearing to God, this is exactly what they said. Cedric, we were just getting ready to call you. Can you come in for an interview Monday? I'm there. I'm like, boy, you see that? I'm like, you see that? God allowed me to be tested. He said, I'm letting me be tested, just like with Job. But Mark will remain faithful because I put my word in his heart and it's pricked his heart and moved him. That's why I like share from the heart. I was just telling the brother this morning, I said, most Sundays when we downstairs in our Bible study, somebody leave out crying. our Bible studies usually get intense and get emotional because we're dealing with real life issues. You know what I mean? It's just not about us coming here and saying a bunch of things. We're trying to equip each other to deal with the challenges that we face trying to walk upright in this world. This is why the Bible tells us walk by faith, not by sight. Because if I get caught up in the things that I'm seeing, woo, that's not, I can't do it. Because me, if I get caught up in what's going on around me, the first thing I do, I get enraged. And me enraged is not a good person. A good thing. It's not good for me. It's not good for anybody. So, you know, it's kind of like God had to take my face and be like, Mark, don't look at them. Look at me. And I'm like, but Jesus. And he's like, don't look at them. Look at me. And I'm like, all right, Jesus. He said, and I'm reminded of scripture that says God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. See, when I start looking at the circumstances, you know what I mean? I start to sink like Peter. I'm like, oh, I'm with Peter walking by faith. But then when he start looking at the circumstances, he start to sink. Job looked at the circumstances and said, hey, Lord, look, he said, listen, I came in this world with nothing. I'm going to leave this world with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As a matter of fact, the scriptures we just read said, we're groaning in this temporal physical condition. We're looking forward to the coming of us taking off this mortality and putting on immortality. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that, trusting in God's promises, which you can't see physically, but you see spiritually. Just as we are risen with him. So I'm not walking by according to the things, because I know this could end today. My life could end today. Christ could come back today. It can all be over. But we get so caught up in this life, in this world. I mean, I don't even want to go in another direction because it might just get really crazy, because some of us, even in politics, we want to get caught up in the politics of the world. And we're supposed to be one united in Christ, and we got Democrats over here and Republicans over here. And oh, they're ungodly. They're ungodly. How you going to be in Christ and be divided by politics? Somebody explain that to me. That's not faith. You understand? And I'm saying, so I don't get caught up in that. I just get caught up in it sometimes with the conversations. And I'm like, you know, I got to leave this conversation alone because it's going to take me in a direction that's not conducive for my spirituality. I get caught up in my flesh. So I try, and that's what the Bible is telling us. Focus. Focus, people. Keep our focus on heavenly things. Moving through here. So you know what? So no matter what's going on here, we could be like my brother George. Oh, my leg. You know what my aunt said one time? I remember my aunt was going to get her foot cut off. Another thing, right? She was going to get her foot cut off. And when they told her, you know what my aunt said? She said, well, I got plenty of good use out of it. I'm like, my God. I said, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Me, I want to cry about every little thing. Why my knee gotta be hurting? Why my back gotta be bothering me, Lord? You know, but I'm like, hey, at some point it's gonna be all over. And I'm gonna get that what I've been looking for. So the Bible tells us that faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by God's word, right? Not by the traditions and customs and rudiments and things that we say in the world. You know how culture has changed from place to place? And that's another thing. Stop, Derek. That's another thing, too. See, some of us, we live in this country, and we're looking at the Bible like God is talking to America. You know what I mean? Like God wrote this scripture to Americans. Like everybody else out of America, it ain't got nothing to do with y'all. This is just from an American perspective. And it's not. We need to get that thought out of our mind. You know, God is not the God of America. He's the God of the world. He is the God. whether you be in this country, any other country. So that's another thing, too, when you want to involve yourself in the political aspects of this land. Do you ever, just think about this. When you're involving yourself in those things, think about how the decisions that this country makes might affect your brothers and sisters in other countries. Because, see, we just be concerned about ourselves and how we living, and might not be thinking about how things affect others. So our faith, again, we want to trust in God in those things that are not seen. Amen? All right, so let's turn over to Romans 10 real quick. We ain't going to be much longer because Domingo's watching. I don't want him to send me a text message. He might send me a text message, see, you say, hey, Brother Mark, you ready to wrap it up? Romans 10, right? Listen. Paul, the Bible says this. He says, I'm going to start in verse 9. That if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, right? He says, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew, the Greek, and the same Lord is over all, and he's rich unto all, and all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? But here's the question. How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, whom they have not believed? How shall they believe or have faith except they hear God's word? So that's the point. How are you trusting in something if you haven't heard him? See, it's because it's his word that I trust him. This is how he reveals himself to us, through his word, does he not? And so as we begin to walk in his word, it's kind of like the scripture tells us in Hebrews, your experiences start to teach you and give you understanding of the things that are written. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. Sometimes we got to go through things. I remember Brother King used to tell me, Mark, it's a long, dusty road. You want to know everything today, you're not going to learn everything today. But I want to know today, Brother King. He's like, some things you're just going to have to experience. And that's just a fact. As we walk and we experience things, we grow in our faith. We grow in our faith. Our faith gets stronger as we go through the situations that God then brought us through. And we know it was only God that brought us through it. When I was thinking about some things this morning about what God brought me through, I would jump as I'm thinking about it because I'm like, wow, that was God that I made it through that situation. It was only God that I'm standing here today. I remember I came out of church one time and a guy was waiting for me when I came out. I hadn't been in church a few months. And when I walked out, I seen him. He's about Darren size, big, tall guy, but he was wider. And he saw me. I said, well, it ain't no sense in me trying to run. He seen me. So I came out, and I walked right on up to him, and he lifted his shirt up and showed me his gun. And he, you know what he did? He said, man, I was coming up here to hurt you, right? He said, but when I seen you coming out of the church with the tie and your Bible, he broke down and started crying and hugged me. And said, man, just keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, wow, that was God. I said, I thought that was it. I thought this was it, you know. But he just started crying when he saw me coming out. And I knew that was God. I was thinking this morning also, I'm going to wrap it up. When I was driving home one time and I got in a car accident. Well, I didn't get in a car accident. Actually, my car flipped. It went down the road and flipped over a few times, and I landed upside down. And I just remember as I started to go and it turned over, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how this one's going to turn out. This is what I'm thinking in my mind. How's this going to turn out? Am I going to have a broken arm, broken? I'm thinking all this while we flipping. You know, am I going to survive this? Am I going to have a broken neck? I'm going to be paralyzed. And then finally it stopped, and I'm hanging upside down in my seatbelt, right? And then when I unfastened my seatbelt, I dropped on my head, bloop, bloop, right? Because I'm upside down. So then I crawled out. And when they showed up, they was like, is anybody else in that car? I'm like, no. They was like, you were in that car? And I'm like, yeah. And they looking at me like, you were in that car? And I'm like, yeah. And they was like, I've showed up to accidents less than that and found people dead. I just had I had a little scratch on my finger from when I crawled out, the glass was broke, so I cut my finger a little bit. That was it. I'm like, there's no way. How did I survive this accident? And not just survive it, but don't even have nothing but a little scratch on me. God said, not yet, Mark. They ain't going to take you out that easily. I got plans for you. And I just say to myself, it's not because of me. It's because of him. You know, he said things in his time. He said, no, you ain't going to go yet. And also to let me know that it was him. He let me know, it's not you, Mark, it's me. Right? So all my faith comes by hearing, by living and walking, because that's the point too. That's the final point, that we, the Bible says, who are believers, walk by faith. Amen? We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We live and adjust our lifestyle to that according which we believe. Right? This is my final scripture over to Romans, Romans, the first chapter. Shut up, Derek. Romans 1, this is our final scripture, 11:45. I think we're in good shape. Domingo would be proud of me. He's like, Mark, did a good job. And Kamal made a joke earlier, and y'all laughed at it. I want to see all y'all that laughed after service, too. Romans, the first chapter. The first chapter, right? We got it? Watch this. All right, I'm starting verse 15. Paul says, so, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that believeth is talking about an active belief. It's a moving belief. It's not a standstill, running your mouth belief, right? You know what I mean? It's going the same place. It's funny. When we start talking about faith, you start asking some people, well, which way did he go? He went that way. Well, no, wait, he went that way. And you're like, huh? How did we get so going in different directions if we're reading the same word? Because the Spirit is not leading us in different directions. He's leading us to the same location or same destination. Right? So he says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The vehicle, the way that someone can obtain righteousness is revealed in the gospel. So that's not something we should be ashamed of. That's something that we should hang our hat on. That's something that we live by, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting in anything else. I can't trust in anything else. And I can't even trust in how good I think I'm doing something. Boy, I tell you, as soon as we start thinking we're doing something good, we get a little big-headed, and I'm this and that, and, you know, titles and all kinds of things. Well, I'm so-and-so. You know, it's funny. I never heard any of the elders here say to me, nor have I heard other Domingos say, well, I'm the minister. I never heard Walt say, well, I'm the elder. Those are things that didn't have to, it's not because it's not about what they say, it's about how you move, right? So when you move a certain way, you don't have to say, anytime you got to say, it's like you saying, I'm a man. Why you got to say you a man, come on? Who you trying to convince? You understand? So that's what I'm saying. You know, all we need to do is move the way we ought to be moving. I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation. So that's what I'm trusting in, and that's what I'm going to share. I'm going to share the gospel. Now, some people, that the gospel is going to offend them because they're going to think, oh, well, you don't have to do this, and all you got to do is this. I haven't read that anywhere. So when you start telling me, hey, you know, say a prayer and you're going to be saved or do this or that, I can only tell you what the Bible says. We speak according to what's revealed. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So we can only tell you what God says. See, the question is asked in the Bible. The question is asked, what must I do to be saved? Right? And the Bible gives an answer, doesn't it? So why would I give a different answer than the Bible gives? The Bible says, if you believe and you're baptized in his name, for the remission of your sins, you'll be saved. Right? You confess that Jesus is God's son, you'll be saved. So, you know, you telling me put my hand on the television and repeat that, that's not faith. You trusting in something that's taking you somewhere. Hey, listen, I can only trust in what he said, right? So he says that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Oh, let me stop there for a second. From faith first, right? And to faith, right? Last. Remember I said the same thing that brought you here is the same thing that keep you here? From faith, it starts with faith and it ends from faith. And that's what the devil is trying to attack. He's trying to keep you from getting there. The Bible says he that endureth to the end. What needs to endure to the end? Your faith. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. This is what the spiritual warfare is about. It's trying to stop you from believing. And one of the things that will stop you from believing is following after laws, customs, and traditions, because that'll have you jammed up based on your own performance. How well are you doing something? See, I didn't show up here this morning because I'm constrained by law. I showed up here this morning because I'm constrained by love. I'm constrained by God's love for me and my love for y'all. That's why I'm here. I want to be encouraged and I want to encourage. I'm not a straight constraint by some law that has me being here, because once I start doing that, then I'll just be sitting there talking about, oh, well, I fulfilled my obligation. Time to go home. See you next week, come on. You know, that's not why we're here. And I was talking to the group this morning. Let me just bring this last point up about it here. Shut up, Derek. Stop. So, I was saying, and we were talking about, like, as opposed to sitting home, watching on TV or listening on the radio, and we were talking about the benefits or what's missed out by not being here, right? And I was reminding someone how when I looked at them and I could tell something's wrong. I can see in you because we have a relationship. We have a bond that you might be able to wear that mask with some other people. But when you look at me, something about me, you just can't hide it. Or something about you, I can't, you know what I mean? I can't hide it. I can tell everybody else, hey, yeah, I'm good, I'm fine. And then you might ask me, I'm like, oh, man, I'm all messed up. I remember that happened to me at First State. I'm walking down the aisle. Everybody, hey, Mark, how you doing? How you doing? And Brother King, because Brother King known me from day one, he asked me the same question. How you doing, Brother Mark? I fell apart. I couldn't hold it. I wanted to. I didn't want to do that, but I couldn't hide it no more, because that's the relationship that we have in Christ. You know what I mean? And that's the way it's supposed to be. Derek told me, he said, I don't know what it is about you that people just start telling you things they ain't never told nobody before. They just start crying and they start telling you things they, I said, I don't know what it is either, Dad. I said, I think it has to do with my transparency. Because I'm honest about who I am, I think it causes people to be able to be honest with me and feel like Mark is not going to judge me. Because some of us are so high and mighty that really, I can't tell him. He going to look at me funny. He going to look at me different if he know this way about me or she know that about me. But that's not why we're here. The Bible tells us that he that is without sin, throw the first stone, right? So that means every last one of us here are here by God's grace and mercy, and none of us are here to be each other's judges, right? So he says, all right, this gospel, we walk by faith. It says, from faith to faith, starting with, ending with, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who are, he said, we don't live this way to be justified. Those who are justified, those who have been justified, those who have received God's righteousness and are in his presence, in his court, we live by faith. Amen? We move according to faith. Our mouth ain't going one way and our body going the other way. Free your mind, your behind will follow, right? So the Bible tells us that if you've heard the word of God, heard his word, you heard his gospel message and it's pricked your heart, because that's what it did to those that heard it, right? That's what it still does to us sometimes when we talk on a real level. It touches our heart. It pricks us. That's what the word does. It comes from the heart and it reaches the heart. I said, we're looking in this mirror, and when you're looking in this mirror, you're going to see some things about yourself sometime that you don't like. It's supposed to be that way, because that's what needs to be changed. When you look in the mirror and you say, man, I need a haircut, because you don't like the way you look, right? Yes, I need to clean that up. Same thing spiritually. We look into the mirror And God shows us the modifications that we need to make, and we move accordingly. So it's a beautiful thing to be in Christ and have that guidance, have that direction. You know, I brushed over something earlier because I don't have a lot of time, but another one of the things he said is that we have received a down payment on our salvation, on our eternal life. The Bible says he's given us the earnest of the Spirit. You know what I mean? He put a deposit on you. You've been bought with a price. God paid for you. You've been bought with a price. The price was his blood, and we're in him, and he possesses us, and we ought to live accordingly. Amen? So if you have heard this gospel and it's pricked your heart unto repentance, because godly sorrow worketh repentance, you're not going to repent unless you feel bad about it, right? You know what I mean? Somebody else could tell you, you make me sick. You make me sick, Roland, you know? But until Roland gets sick of Roland, Roland ain't going to change. When Roland don't like something about him, then he'll change. And that's what God tries to show us, our shortcomings, not to discourage us, but to encourage us. Amen? So if anyone has heard this gospel and they have believed it and has pricked their heart unto repentance and they're prepared to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's so much. Somebody sent me a video yesterday talking about, Mark, watch this video and then call me back and tell me what you think, because there's some Muslims on here trying to say that Jesus is not the Son of God. I don't know what to say. Call me back. I said, all right, I'll call you back. But we believe that Jesus is the Son of God in the Church of Christ. Do we not? Amen. We confessed him, and we believe that, just as the scriptures say, that we're buried with him in baptism, and that we're risen with him, and that we're united with Jesus Christ in his crucifixion, and we're resurrected with him through baptism. Amen? And this says that he's coming back. And then when he comes back, he's taking us with him, who has been buried and resurrected with him. Amen? If you be risen in Christ, that we're baptized to have all our sins forgiven, washed away, and that you can't charge me. You know, the Bible says, how are you going to charge someone in Christ for sins that Christ has already paid for? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that justifies. Amen. Do you want to be one who is justified by Christ? If it be so, this would be the time for you to come up, and we can baptize you today. The water's in the pool, and I hope today that it's just in the pool. A couple of weeks ago, it was somewhere else. Not only in the pool, but this week it's in the pool. Amen. So if you're prepared, this would be the time. And I also want to remind us to keep each other in prayer. You know what I mean? That we pray one for another. Amen? All right, so let's all stand as we sing the song of invitation.